Hello, this is Rabbi David Felsenthal. We're learning Bava Kamma, Chapter 7. Today we'll be learning Mishnahs 2 and 3. Mishnah 2. Ganav al pishnayim, v'tavach umachar al pihem, o al pishnayim acherim, misham tashlumei arba v'chamisha. So, if two stole, and according to them, or according to another two, he slaughtered or sold, he makes four or five-fold payments. Ganav umachar b'Shabbos, if he stole and he stole it on Shabbos, ganav umachar l'avodah zarah, he stole it and sold it for avodah zarah, for idolatry, ganav etavach b'yom ha-kippurim, or he stole it and slaughtered it on Yom Kippur, ganav mishal aviv etavach umachar, or he stole it from his father and slaughtered and sold it, v'achar kak hiktish, and afterwards his father died, Mishal Tashlumi Arba V'chamisha, he pays four and five-fold payments. Ganav V'tavach L'Refua O L'Klavim, if he stole it and he slaughtered it for a cure for dogs, Hashochet V'nimsa Trefa, or if he slaughtered it and it was found to be a Trefa, Hashochet Chulin Bazara, or he slaughtered an ordinary animal in the temple court, Mishal Tashlumi Arba V'chamisha, he pays four and five-fold payments. Rabbi Shimon Pater B'Shnei Elu, but Rabbi Shimon will exempt him in these two cases. So according to the testimony of two witnesses, he stole an ox or a sheep, and according to those witnesses, their testimony, he slaughtered or sold them. According to the testimony of another two, he slaughtered or sold them, he makes four or five-fold payments. The Gemara explains that our Mishnah is teaching that although the Torah states by two witnesses, Rabbi Akiva interpreted it to mean a matter and not half a matter. So if two other witnesses testified that he slaughtered or sold, this is half a matter, for the testimony of the witnesses to the slaughter or the selling is meaningless without the witnesses to the theft. Nevertheless, since the witnesses to the theft do not require the witnesses to the slaughter, even the testimony about the slaughter is not regarded as half a matter. So they both count fully. Now, if he stole or sold on the Sabbath, there's no death penalty because he's chayav bidei shemayim. Selling for idolatry doesn't render him liable for the death penalty either because he must make payment. If after he slaughtered on the Shabbos or for idolatry, he's exempt from making the payments because slaughtering on the Shabbos or for idolatry renders him liable for the death penalty. And a person doesn't both die and pay, as we explained in the Mishnah 4 before. So even in this instance, were he not liable for the death penalty, in other words, if he had been a shogeg, so since this is a capital case, he's still not liable for the payments, because if it had been done mazid on purpose, he would have been chayav misa, he would have been obligated in the death penalty, and therefore he's not chayav to pay. So if he stole and slaughtered on Yom Kippur, the punishment is kares, not the death penalty. This is kares is death from Shemayim, from heaven. Okay? So if he, and even though every person who is liable for kares and was warned by witnesses that he would receive lashes is lashed and therefore freed from kares, a person doesn't receive both lashes and pay. So our Mishnah refers to a case in which he was not warned. Since he does not receive lashes, he's obligated to pay. And we don't say that regarding lashes, like we did by the death penalty, that a case involving lashes exempts one from payment, as does the punishment of the lashes itself. Now, if he stole from his father and slaughtered or sold it, and his father died, even though his father died and he is one of the heirs, he himself, since his father was alive at the time he slaughtered or sold it, he already became obligated to make the four or five-fold payments. And therefore, he has to pay his brothers four or five-fold time, according with their share in the father's inheritance. However, if his father died and he later slaughtered or sold it, then he's not obligated, since at the time of the killing he owned a part of the animal. This will be explained in Mishnah 4 later. Now, if he stole and slaughtered and then consecrated to the base of Mikdash, the meat after it was slaughtered, right? So he's already obligated to pay before he dedicated it, and therefore in these cases he does make the four or five-fold payments. Now, if he slaughtered it for a cure or for a sick person or to feed dogs, it was, in either case, this was a proper ritual slaughtering, since if he so desires, he can eat from this meat. He just wasn't doing it for that purpose. So the slaughtering didn't render the animal permissible. And even if he slaughtered an ordinary animal, one that was not dedicated to the court, it is forbidden to derive any benefit from this at all. Nevertheless, if it was for the court, nevertheless, in all of these cases, he does make the four or five payments because there was nothing invalid in the act of the slaughtering itself. Now, Rabbi Shimon exempts him from the four or five-fold payment in these last two cases because if it's found to be trefa and of the unconsecrated animal in the temple court, since they're unfit for slaughtering, therefore he holds that they're... that the slaughtering doesn't render the animal fit to be eaten, so therefore it's not regarded as slaughtering, and he doesn't have to pay. Mishnah 3. Ganav al pishnayim, v'tavach u'machar al pihem, v'nimsu zomimin, mishalmin hachol. So if according to the two witnesses he stole, and according to them, these two witnesses he slaughtered or sold, and they were found to be conspiring witnesses, witnesses that disagreed with those two witnesses, so then they pay everything. The witnesses. Ganav al pishnayim, v'tavach u'machar al pishnayim acherim, elu ve'elu nimsu zomimin, harishonim mishalmin tishlumin kefil, v'achronim mishalmin tishlumin shlosha. So if according to two witnesses he stole, and according to two others he slaughtered or sold, if these and these, if both sets were found to be conspiring witnesses, found to be false, then the first ones pay kefil, and the last ones make the triple payment. If Nimsu achronim zormin, but if we find that the latter ones were false witnesses, hu mishalm tashlumi kefil, vehe mishalm tashlumi shlosha. He pays the kefil, but they, the zomin, the witnesses that were found false, pay the threefold. Echad min achronim zomim, batla edus shnia. If one of the last witnesses were found to be zomim, but not the other one, both of their testimony is batal, is no good. Echad min harishonim zomim, but la kol ha'edus. If one of the original witnesses is found to be, his testimony is found to be invalid, then all the testimony is void completely. But la kol ha'edus. Shim ein geneva, ein tvicha, v'ein makira. Because if there was no thief, no stealing, then tvicha and makira are totally irrelevant. Okay? So, again, there were two witnesses, and then two witnesses, separate, and then there were Adam that came and said that their testimony was no good, so that invalidates them retroactively. And all evidence that they gave, after having been proven to be conspired, is void, and since these witnesses' testimony regarding the theft was conspired, they became unfit to testify for the time they had testified about the theft, and when they later testified regarding the slaughter, they were already unfit to give testimony, and so therefore the law regarding witnesses who are zomim didn't apply to them because they were no longer valid to begin with. Now our Mishnah, however, refers to a case in which they testified to both matters at the same time. And therefore, they were still valid witnesses when testifying about the slaughter, and therefore, they are chayav for both aspects. Okay? So, now if there were two pairs of witnesses that were found to be zomim, right, the ones that said that he stole and the ones that said that he slaughtered, and so the ones that said he stole make the kefil payment, the ones that said he slaughtered make the triple payment. But if the witnesses who testified about the slaughter or the sale are found to be conspiring witnesses, zomimim, so then he does pay the kefil because the two first two witnesses are good, but the witnesses themselves make the triple payment. Now, if one or of the latter witnesses, the ones who said about the slaughtering, proved to be conspiring, so then that testimony is false. The thief pays only the kefil. And again, the witnesses pay the triple payment. But if one of the first witnesses are found to be false, so then everything is null and void because there's no proof that he actually stole anything to begin with, and therefore no one has to pay anything. Tomorrow, we will do Mishnayos 4 and 5.